You're currently listening to the free version of Let Me Talk.
If you want longer, ad-free episodes, even earlier, head to lmtpod.com to find out how to subscribe.
Let me talk! Let me talk!
Hello and welcome to Let Me Talk Details. This is a respite from the weekly whirlwind of top flight football. It's a space to break down the big picture topics and get into the details away from the game-by-game analysis. I'm David Mooney. As ever, the Athletic City correspondent Sam Lee is alongside me.
Hello.
And former City defender Nedim Anuwa.
Hello.
Sam, what is on today's show?
We talked to Nedim about still playing football now and the big differences between amateur and professional football, apart from the quality.
Let Me Talk Details is a platform for you to get involved as well. We'd love to hear from you, so email hello@lmtpod.com if you've got any questions, thoughts or ponderings about City or football in general. Now, Nedim, it's since retiring, you haven't stopped playing.
Nope.
In many respects. Nope. I want to talk about the differences between the amateur game and the professional game, because there was a game that we three played in, and the line you said still sticks with me, where you said, "We'll just defend it like a normal throw-in."
And nobody knew what it was.
Like, what does that mean?
Honestly, like the conversations we have sometimes, like he'll call me and he's just like, "Oh, people don't know how to use their body to control the ball." I was like, "This is me. This is us."
Yeah,
like,
this is
like 80% of the people who play football in the UK. Like, we've never actually been told how to do this. Like,
just defend it like a normal throw-in. Oh, okay.
The things you're staggered by. So, you know, we always say, like, you know, like when Guardiola's picking the team or whatever, "Oh, we should play him or we shouldn't play him. What's he doing playing that?" And if they said, "Look, this is the data we've got for this," and you go, "Oh, this is just completely other side of the coin. We don't think about this at all." This is conversation.
Yeah.
That, like, what you're going to say over the next, I don't know, 2 hours, is exactly that. But, like, this is it. Like, I've said to you, this is the logic. If we're playing in a media game or something like that, like, and we're playing five at the back, the wing backs aren't going forward because, like, we're just staying solid, mate.
Yeah.
And this is it. But the thing is, their wing backs aren't either. So, like, everyone's going to stay in their position. We're just going, like, the ball's going to go backwards and forwards. If you've got a throw in, it's going down the line. There was no defending it like a throw. We don't know what the fuck any of this means.
Yeah.
No, we've never had any input on the coaching. I was speaking to some futsal guys recently for an article, and I was like, "I want to get my son into this," because I was never taught how to do anything on a football pitch, really. I was just kind of there. I was just existing until I went, "Well, I like lying in on a Sunday morning." They said by the age of 20, I was done.
Yeah.
But, like, no one had ever taught me how to really do anything. You do the passing drills, but they assume you can pass already, and they say, "Well, pass to this cone or do this or," but it's not how you position your body. No, we don't get any of this.
To be fair, I think you've made a good point there, which is, I was trying to think, how do I introduce myself into this? Yeah, and the point you've made about passing drills—that's even a thing in itself. Yeah, sometimes when you're doing passing drills, in fact, this is every time. Say if you've got like a square and you're going to be passing around it, there are certain like fundamentals which are you're doing it for a reason. Like, you get the ball, you control it on, say if we're going clockwise, you receive the ball on your left foot and you pass it with your right. So what that's coaching you to do is to stay on the half turn and be open. There's little things like that. You do this every day, you know what I mean?
You mean you wouldn't take it on the outside of your right foot and then get your body around it to pass it?
Mate, like, these are tiny, tiny things. If you control the ball on a half turn, it means the person that's going to come towards you now has to stop because you've opened up so you can see what's going on. If your back's to someone, they can keep coming towards you. So there's little things like that.
It's not, sorry, but you know, whenever like City are pressing somebody, and obviously this is Premier League, so all these guys obviously know this, but if you ever see somebody playing against City in their own third or trying to play out and they're like, their body shape is facing towards their own goal, I'm always just like, "Oh, this guy's fucked."
Yeah.
Like, they're losing this ball like so soon. Even if he gets it to somebody else, they're losing it, and that's the position you don't want to be in. But this is the position we're all in. Because if the ball gets played to me, I'm controlling it with the instep on my right. I'm completely square. And then I'm looking around to see what's going on. But I'm fortunate if I was playing centre-back, because the striker's probably not pressing me anyway.
Yeah.
If he is, that ball's going.
Yeah.
I'm not taking a touch. That's going.
Yeah.
And then we'll work from there. That's normal.
Yeah, there's so much to it. Because then, say, for example, if I'm going to go and press someone and they've opened up and they can see the whole field, what I'll try and do is like cut off half the field. And I'm cutting off half the field in terms of pressing them from one side, whether it's from the left or from the right. And as a consequence, I believe within me, and this is the issue that I have, that people behind me are reacting to the way that I'm pressing.
No.
Because I've cut off about five options here So we should know that the ball is about to go down the line. But then when the ball gets played down the line and someone's free, I'm like, huh, okay, we're not quite on the same wavelength here.
The number of players I've played with that I've had to say, look, don't just keep chasing the ball because all you're going to do is tire yourself out.
Yeah, even... There's so much to it, and I do find it entertaining, but I find it more entertaining when my team wins. When my team loses, it's not like I'm over the top frustrated. I think it depends on how we are playing and how we are losing.
It's just a different world for you, isn't it?
Yeah, completely different.
It's almost like it's the inverse of one of us going into a Premier League game and not knowing anything. Mm-hmm. You're coming into a game at our level,
knowing the world,
but
yeah.
You know everything, but it's. No, but nobody else is on that wavelength whatsoever. It's not like you're useless because then you can just run past everyone. It's just complete.
It's not like I've also found with amateur football the variance between the best and the not so good players is huge at times. Mm. I think professionally, even with players who are perceived to be bad players, you will still have something on their wavelength. They might not technically be good, but physically maybe they are, or vice versa. So you can sort of gain an advantage from that, and you can talk to them in a certain way that makes sense. So when I do go and play in these games, there are always like three or four players where it's easy to play with them because they've got a rough idea of what's going on. But it's when you just go to that sort of like lower end because you kind of have to talk differently, play differently, and understand that if your team's losing, they don't really know how to win. And having someone not know how to win in the wrong sort of area is all of a sudden just like a big negative. What does that mean? What does that mean?
We're talking about last week conceding early goals, you just think, for like an amateur mentality, we're fucked here.
If your team's losing...
Knowing how to win from...
If your team's losing and you're playing a game whereby the ball always starts from the goalkeeper and the ball goes out and the goalie's got it, like, why are you dropping off? Like, why are you going to the halfway line? Like, it's not a kickoff. Like, you need to try and score. And especially in the last few minutes, because everybody's tired, people are more likely to make mistakes on the ball. So that's when you need to be more aggressive. But because people are tired, they do the opposite. They start being a lot more passive because they're trying to protect themselves.
Because they're tired.
Yeah, because they're tired. But this is the exact point now to sort of win. Like when I would play games with Stephen Ireland and a few other ex-pros and people who've been on the football pyramid and so on, we'd be playing against some of these young amateur sides, playing, as I say, maybe seventh tier or whatever, or like young people who were just good players, academy guys. And it would always be close-ish for the first 20, 30 minutes. And then from like 30 to 45, destroy them. Because we knew how to dominate in that time when people start to become tired.
So it's not knowing how to win, it's knowing how to manage a 90 minutes.
But that's still the same thing. We're kind of saying the same thing. Because what does the moment need? If your team is winning... Now you need to figure out how to manage the clock. And the way you're doing that is by making the field as big as possible, breaking the spirit of the opposition, not rushing things you don't need to rush, not playing people. Like, every person that I play with, I kind of sense their ability level. So there are certain balls which I'll play to people who can deal with pressure, and others where I won't give it to them unless they're completely clear.
Oh, what would you do with me?
You wouldn't get the ball, mate.
Have we played together?
Not properly, no. Because
the minute you switched to our team, his shoulder came out.
Yeah,
I think.
And then we conceded twice after I went off. Was it?
You're good enough, so we did win.
Sorry,
isn't that what happened?
We definitely won the game.
Yeah,
I know.
But no thanks to you. But
no, it didn't concede. I seem to recall. Go on.
Did you get an assist or not? But anyway, we.
Nobody else was running onto my long balls.
No, you were just giving them to me on the opposite team.
We played once on the up at Gorton.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll give the ball to you because I think you've got an understanding of not trying to play like hero ball.
Mm.
That's the key thing. If I roll the ball to someone and I give
you might just get it straight back.
But that's fine. Yeah. Like I can always live with just receiving the ball straight away. But I've got people who like yourself who want to work hard, who understand that they're tired but will still stay committed, wants to try and organise people around them. Like, and the worst thing you can be on a football pitch, in my opinion, whether you're good, bad or indifferent, is quiet.
Mm.
Because with that, you never know what you're getting from them.
Mm.
Like if I've got a man on, I might see there's a man on, but I want someone to say man on. You know what I mean? If I can turn, I want someone to say turn, because that's all the information. I very rarely give someone a ball and say nothing.
Mm.
Like very, very, very rarely, unless I'm trying to organise something else. So people who can engage like that, they can receive the pass because it means that they're in it. So Sam, to be fair, you are engaged with the game. Like you're looking for it.
Funny that actually, because when I think of the games that I play in, I'm norming goal, so I'm always like I can see everything in front of me. Mm. I don't think, and you might correct me now. I don't think I play passes and don't tell the person who's receiving the ball what they can do.
No, because
it feels automatic to do that.
Yeah, well, again, this is one of the differences in terms of the variance in amateur type football, because for some, especially when you don't know someone's name, you don't have that connection as such, but they don't understand how important it is. Like, from the moment, this was 20-odd years ago, probably more, 23, 24 years ago, we were forced to do a training session and we were not allowed to speak. We just had to play the game. And it was one of the worst games we'd played in the academy. This is like, because passing the ball, can't ask for it back, like can't say turn. Mm. People were falling over. There was all sorts of madness going on. So you soon realize, like, you know, that's not great. Like when, for as much as you can try and look around and figure out what's going on around you, the fact is you can't see everything. Like even when I played the other day with my cousin, I play him the ball and people saying to him, left side's free. But he was never open to it, but I could see it. Mm. So I'm asking him, you give me the ball, then I can go and do it. So I'm playing it to him to set it back to go to there. And in doing so, you draw in about three players to try and do it. But again, not everyone sees like the bigger picture.
The thing that always used to annoy me with five a side was like, if you give me the ball, I can put it there.
Yeah.
But it would just never ever happen. Yeah. But like, I'm not good. I wouldn't be in the worst category of player you've ever played with. I'm not good. I couldn't have been paid 10 quid to play on a Saturday afternoon. It was never me. Mm. But like the amount of times I'd be playing five a side, like I don't know, like 8 years ago or whatever, and it's like that guy's free, but then the guy would either try and dribble him and pass to him. It's like, just give it to me and I'll try and get it.
And I'll make the pass.
But like, look, I'm fully on the amateur moron side of this conversation. I'm not on the, I wish people would do this because there's a million things I don't know and that's why we're talking about it.
Just on like the reading of the game and everything as well. You did something when we played together where the ball, we had possession of the ball at the back and you said, this will come to you. And about four passes later, it came to me. Mm. And I was like, I don't know how you saw that.
So we had possession.
Yeah.
I think at times.
That's a big call as well, because probably the natural inclination is somebody within those four passes is just putting it forward.
Yeah. A lot of people are quite scared to go back to a goalkeeper. Yeah. But like, I don't see why you
would
be.
Some of us are scared to receive it, mate. It's fine.
No, but it depends how you receive it.
That's why we ain't going back.
But you can, I think at times, you know, as I say, they're really good amateurs. And, you know, you can fit in just fine because you've got a rough understanding of the game. But it's the principles, for example, that Pep and other managers give, you know, about passing, receiving, being an option and so on, communicating, all that stuff. Like, it can translate all across the board regardless of your ability level. Mm. So if you give someone the ball and all of a sudden you've got three people against them, like, why are you just watching them? Like, just go to the next place.
Was it Ake who said about arriving at City? Yeah. And
That Leicester game at the start of the
pandemic. Yeah, and Guardiola was like, why are you passing it? Because
you've got to wait, you've got to engage them, and then you can pass it around them to come out. Like, but Ake was like, I thought, you know, you just get the ball, keep it moving. But Guardiola was like, no, you've got to engage them to come with you. But like, imagine learning that at Premier League level.
Yeah,
he's come through at Chelsea.
Yeah, I that's something I found as well, to be fair, in playing, especially more so in the last year, 2 years. Because as crazy as this may be, however I played throughout my career and the coaching that I've had, I've also learned more about the game from watching it since I've retired as well. Because in this era now, it is more a case of put your foot on it, wait for someone to come out. And I'm very comfortable doing that in a game. Like, people might think it's time wasting or whatever. But like, if someone's not coming to me, right, cool, let's wait here.
Yeah, not my problem.
If it's going to be 10 minutes, I'll wait here 10 minutes. If I've got a lead, it's fine, whatever. But then it's when I then pass it on to someone, but they have the panic glitch and they just boot it away. Yeah. So,
come on, funny examples, man. Because look, no one's gonna think you're being a dick. No one's going to think you're digging people out.
You sure about that?
Yeah. Because it's just that funny thing of, most people listen to this will be shit like we are.
Yeah.
And it's just that funny perspective of like, the things you find hilarious, that's just normal. Like, you would find that hilarious because you've got the information and we haven't. It's just that funny thing. Whenever we have that conversation, that's normal, mate.
Start it with us. What's the funniest thing we do?
Funniest? I don't know. We've not played together enough, to be fair. I think... So the different types of player that like playing these games, and the one that sort of makes me laugh the most are the ones who take themselves quite seriously, because they're like, this crap, you know what I mean?
Which one of us is that?
I don't think you take yourself seriously. I think when you play against people in like Power League type things, you do find people who do take themselves seriously. But in reality, everyone's on the pitch because they paid to be there.
We'll be back in a few minutes after an ad break. Speak to you shortly.
Hold up. When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Let Me Talk is sponsored by you, the listeners.
The best way to support the podcast is by subscribing via Memberful.
You can pay as little as £2 per month, which gives you early access to all our podcasts ad-free, and they're packed with even more content.
That gives you even more minutes of us to fill up your week.
Subscribing is really easy, and the longer episodes will integrate seamlessly with your podcast app of choice, be it Spotify or Apple. Head over to lmtpod.com for more information on signing up and links to all of our socials.
I do have the attitude that, like, if I was any good, wouldn't be here, mate. So yeah.
The ones that...
That's why I'm like at the driving range. I'm like, well, if I'm having a shit show, so what's everyone... What? Yeah, if they were good, they wouldn't be here.
100%. You would not be paying for a token card at traffic.
Like, nobody who's going to watch me play, they'll be better than me. But, like, no, like, they'll be better than me, but, like, they're still going in the bushes. People, like, regardless.
People that get me the most are the ones who think they can score from distance, yeah, but can't really reach the goal. So there's loads of, like, curly-footed, like, 20-yard wide shots. Oh, horrendous. And the ones you want to play like a quarterback, just be playing diagonal balls and stuff to people. A good diagonal ball or a good forward ball is the one which the person can receive. You're trying to play like this sweeping ball to someone that cannot physically run. You know what I mean? But still, they'll look at the person and say, oh, what are you doing? Like, do more. Like, read your team. Like, they get me all the time. The one, and there have been a few people who, like, they'll come up against me and they'll try and, like, properly beat me with, like, an old school skill or something. And it's fair enough, but...
Old school skill, by the way.
I know it is old school now. Because when was the last time you saw someone trying to take someone on with, like, step over? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, come on, mate. Like, what are you doing? Or the ones who like, go on YouTube to learn skills to then try and take on. And as a consequence, I don't know if there's anyone in this room that could be guilty of this. One of my biggest issues when I lose is the overreaction that some people have from beating me.
Oh, I see.
Do you get where I'm coming from?
So this is the, we've just beaten a team that had Naderman in it.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of, yeah. But it's not that, mate. Like, if we play maybe in a game, if you want to play in a game.
Maybe you weren't good enough, mate.
Yeah. If you want to play in a game where you get the full experience, I'll deliver the full experience. But nobody's checking for that. Nobody wants that. Like, I don't even want to do that. What's the value? Just picture what it'd look like. It's a good game, whatever. And then all of a sudden, I just decide, right, from now, this point onwards, I'm not going to pass to anyone on my team. I'm just going to get the ball and try and dribble past as many people as I can. When I'm defending, just clatter people all the time. I'm like, what's this clown doing here? That's absolutely not going to be me.
It's not like those videos you see when it's like LeBron James or something, his kids are trying to like dunk, he's just like blocking everyone.
Yeah. So what's the point? And even like when I have my one-on-one duels and stuff with people, I'm not trying to hurt anyone, so I'm not giving full, like, percentage. I'm significantly heavier and stronger than most people I play against, so I'm not going all in. So if he's like, oh, got past him, it's like, do you really want this? Do you really, really want this? But there are quite a lot of people who unfortunately fall into that, and I've got to give a mention, actually. I don't know if this podcast will reach them, but there's another game which I sometimes play on a Monday in Bolton with my cousin, and it's all his school friends and so on. And shout out to Richard. He's the guy who organizes it. But when he picks the teams, because I'm like the top ranked one, the people who are the lowest ranked, the bottom like three or four, he always puts them on my team. So it's like always matched against me.
I see.
So if I win, it's a miracle. But I lost like 4 or 5 weeks in a row. It's tough, mate. Psychologically, it's tough. And it's because of the thing I was saying where when the game gets harder towards the end when people are more tired, I say I'm trying to elevate now. But when you've got the bottom four, they start off bottom four and they're getting further and further away from everybody else. And the moment we start losing late doors, I just think to myself, you might as well just cancel the game now because nothing's going to happen here. But that's the way that he stacks it. And the people who play against me, they're trying as hard as they can because it's
they're like, playing against you.
Yeah. Oh, we beat him. Yeah. Mate, I'm playing left midfield, centre midfield, right back, centre forward in that game. It's a lot, mate. It's a lot. All this just to not lose by more than three. Mm. So yeah, I've got to mention that. And I will come back at some point, Richard. I will. But maybe just help the teams out a little bit. Come on. It's team sport.
Well, he is. But
he's helping himself.
No, but the thing is, if you're not giving it full experience...
No, let me add, in that game, I have to get closer to full experience.
Yeah, just to make up the gap.
Just to keep it like 1-1. Mm. That's how bad it is. Like, it's everything.
Putting out fires everywhere.
I've flipping... in that. Like, there's some good players in that game. So the difference in sort of like standard between, say, the top and like lower down, it can get quite big at times. So there are times where we'll be defending, blocking shots, whatever, start a counter-attack. I'll do 50-yard like supporting run to someone that's running through on goal. We'll miss the target, and then I'm doing a 50-yard sprint back in to try and do the next defensive bit. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, I'm supposed to be enjoying this. I paid money. Like, why am I doing a fitness session?
I've played in a game like that. Imagine how bad the level was. It was like a 57-hour charity thing. But like, I just saw it on Facebook, and I was like, I want to be in that. So I didn't know anyone. So then, as a result of that, I didn't get on for whether it was like, because obviously it went on for 57 hours. Mm. So if you're going on after like an hour or maybe even 2 hours, and there must have been like 20 odd people on the team.
I'm just thinking like, what the quality was. It was 50.
It was so bad. But also like they were knackered as well. But it wasn't just bad. But it was like people hadn't played. It was like posh kids in some cases. I had to teach them how to take a throw in. Like they didn't even know. Not, oh, you've got to release it before it comes past the top of your head. It was, you've got to throw this ball in over your head. Like they didn't know. But I went on and I think I scored like 5 goals consecutively. And it was that kind of thing running around. And I think we didn't concede a goal in some... I don't know if it was like hours or like 4 different periods or whatever. The only time we conceded a goal was when I went in goal. Because I was just able to say, let's just like kind of organise ourselves a bit. And again, like the only 2 examples I've given here have actually been me. But I don't think I'm good and I could never play at a decent standard. The point is, I've got like 1 story to relate to what you're saying, because this team, these lads were like so bad that I was able to actually go in and like score goals and defend and like organise a defence. And it was only my own like incapability of playing in goal. When they actually had a shot, I was letting it in. But like it was that experience. That's the one relatable experience I've had of like that quality difference. But again, it's like you're saying, the difference between...
Yeah,
you get good amateurs, but like some, like
yeah,
they don't even know how to throw it.
To think about it, like obviously this will get clipped up or not because I'm saying ceiling or whatever, but the floor is literally like
yeah, there's no limit,
mate. It is unlimited.
Just a hole to the center of the
anything,
earth.
Yeah. Mate. Here's a person that cannot run. You know what I mean? Like that from somebody who you know was in an academy, had trials, like plays week in, week out. Nearly made it into the football pyramid. So literally a person that's come from work that like cannot control the football, and it's all on the pitch at the same time. And I think in June there's for City and Community. I think there's a 24-hour football thing that's going to be happening. I'm going to try and get in the mix in that. But ultimately, like if I didn't love football, I wouldn't play it because there's certain elements of it that are frustrating.
I was going to ask about this because like there is an element of like you could look around and go, "What on earth am I doing here?"
Yeah.
So why do you do it?
It's because it's fun. Like it's as you guys have probably sensed when you've played with me as well. I let a lot of jokes off on the field because stuff's like quite entertaining.
But imagine being in a position to not give full energy and full focus and not like you know you're fully switched on just to be shit. Like imagine that like luxury to be like just like cracking jokes because like it's just easy.
Yeah, it's fun. You know what I mean? Whether I'm making mistakes myself or other people making them, but it's never really like fun at someone's expense to whereby it affects.
This
their,
is what I mean. When I'm asking about fun examples, like
he said to me, I let a shot go.
Oh well, yeah.
And it hit the post, and he went, "Remember, it's your post and not his."
Yeah, no, but that's what I mean. Do you know? And I got that one. I think it was from possibly like David James.
Yeah.
Because if it hits the post and goes in, you know what I mean? It's there to help you out, mate. You know, what I mean? It's like that's the type of stuff that goes on. And guys miss chances, you know what I mean? Guys play long balls. Like the ones I enjoy the most is when, you know, someone has such a bad shot and I'll just say, oh, it's unlucky, it's a good cross, maybe next time, stuff like that. But people don't necessarily like, they don't bite off it or react to it. It's just, it's good fun.
Yeah, but again, that's just the person who's saying it. It's how they're saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Depends who it's to as well.
Yeah. I always start with unlucky, you know what I mean? But also, do you know, we were talking about, I always say unlucky, then get really passive aggressive. But in terms of playing, I think, Sam, this is similar to me when I think about golf, yeah? With golf, the person that gives the biggest red flag is the person that says they're good.
Mm.
You've got no reason to say you're good.
Mm.
And when you can see some players who think that they're good and sort of say that they're good football-wise, who are playing with me on like a Monday night or any other day, it's like, are you really though? Because it's 9 o'clock at night and we're here at this field and you've paid to be here. Did you not have any games at the weekend?
Even that paying to be here element, because you've been saying that to me for a
that
while.
Matters,
or at least,
mate.
But again, like, mm-hmm. again, that's another thing you think, oh yeah, shit. Like how much money, people talk about pints or gambling or whatever and how much money you're wasting from this, but like, how much money have people spent on playing football over the years? But you'd never want it back. You'd mm-hmm. never think of that as a wasted investment. Like, that is just what we do. You've got to pay to be, you've got to pay for the pitch. That's normal. But then, yeah, when you put it in that element of, if it's some lads giving it the big end, and that's one of the main reason I don't play anymore is injuries, because I'm just a wreck. But one of the few, like, when I had a bit of a run of playing with your team, Mooney, on the Monday night, and it's like, you're just playing against dickheads, but we're not good enough to beat them and have the benefit. There was one time and I remember I came away calling Nadim. I was like, oh, we just played a team of dickheads and we beat them. It's like the best thing ever. But most of the time, like, they're just getting the better of us. Like, this is not fun.
It's when they get the better of you and then mouth off about it.
Yeah, and it's like, what are we doing? Why are you being such dicks? You're not good. You are better than us, fair enough, but you're not good. But I would never have thought this. You are paying to be here, but it's another example of that.
You're on the same field, yeah. You're paying the same money to be on the same field doing the same thing. And I think, obviously, that money side of
things
plays into it.
So why are you having to go to the ref? Like, who cares?
Just who some people are.
But I mean, but like, everyone would. And I definitely, I think I've got red cards. Oh, yeah, okay. The Etihad thing, yeah.
Is a shout for you.
But it's easy to say when you're 35. I'm like retirement age football-wise. It's easy to say. Like, if I had this brain when I was 18, I might have been all right. You know, I'm going to try to make right decisions rather than just... Like, my team had to have me as a sweeper just to accommodate the fact I couldn't really win. I never played with contact lenses in. And I was
so
I can see. And imagine the amount of balls that are coming your way as a centre back in amateur football.
It's
every goal kick.
Yeah.
It's every, like, no one's playing out from the back. If they are, it's the goalkeeper plays it short to somebody who can kick better.
Who can kick it? Yeah, yeah. Because I could never kick it.
I didn't have contact lenses until I was like 16. By that point, like I said, I finished playing when I was like 20.
I've got to say as well.
So I never learned how to judge a header. So I just played sweeper. So they would accommodate me. So I'd just like drop off, and it worked. But like, you can't. I was not good enough to a team. I was at Oxford
Literary Festival last week, and one of the questions I was being asked was, "I know, man, Lippinek does it all." And they were talking about like why I love football and so on. And this is true even to the three of us and a producer, Jack, in the room. Yeah, if we just happen to be like at a field or something, and I had a ball, there's a good chance we'll just start kicking it around. You know what I mean? Like a football or whatever. It'll start off small. Next thing you might be doing keep-ups. Before you know it, there might be some 2v2. Somebody's having shots. Here's two posts, whatever. Like, there's something within you whereby from once you've played it, you'll play it forever. And it's the same like with if we had like a tennis ball, we'd just be throwing and catching. It's just something within you which is there. And to be sort of fit and able and have an opportunity to do it, like, you just do it. Because with playing football, it's not just you doing keep-ups or whatever. Like, you play a good pass to someone, you feel that, you're happy with yourself. You score a goal, you feel that, you're happy with yourself. You know, you make a good run, good tackle, like Sam's obsessed with blocks as well. You know, like, you feel it, you're happy with yourself. So it's very hard to just decide, it's very hard to decide that none of that matters. I'm just not going to do it again. I'm just going to stick to just watching it on TV. Like, while you're willing and able, while you're able, you've got to be willing, man. It's a great sport, isn't it?
Well, this is the thing, and that was the thing about, you know, finishing 20, because I played like since I was, I don't know, 7 or 8 or whatever, just shit level. And like, I'd always see, like, because so when I'm talking about playing 15, 16 and playing sweeper, I was playing men's football at this point, because I was basically the same size and I looked about 25 anyway. So I was just playing men's football. And I was always like, Sunday mornings, I'd see people, they'd not be out of bed. They'd be like, oh, where's like Clarky or whatever? Oh, he's in bed, like hungover. Why would you ever want to do this? Because my dad loved fucking playing. My dad was like, I think my dad was all right, but, you know, amateur level. He might have played on a Saturday. And I got that from him. Like, you just love it. And at that age, I was like, why would you want to be in bed on a Sunday morning when you could be getting up and playing? But now I'm thinking, kicking off at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. Like, I'll be up anyway because I've got Leo. But when I got when I started going to uni, it's like, I'm not getting out of bed until like 11 on Sunday morning. And then that's when it changed. But also, in terms of being willing and able, you take it for granted. You know, all the way from my probably after uni, I'd play when I lived in Birmingham, five-a-side and stuff, and I'd enjoy it. Like, when I moved up to Manchester, I'd play indoors near Old Trafford, and like, I'd enjoy it, it'd be good. But then I'd stop playing because I had other like sports I wanted to do, and I'd get injuries playing football or whatever. But you just think it's always something you can go back to. And now, like, you know, the only times I play football in the last like 4 years, probably those, well, I'll say that, it's been 4 years since the pandemic. I played that media game in September. I think the last time I played football probably before that was the one in 2019. And you start to think, I like I've already said, I was never good anyway, but now I can't even do that because the physicality's not there. Like, I might play with you guys, but it's not that I'm worried that, oh, my hamstring might go. I might have a shoulder to shoulder with somebody like I did in the media game. My shoulder might come out. Like,
my dad always said, he always said to me, play when you can, because at some point the phone will stop ringing.
But it's that thing, like, you just take it for granted because you just think, but it's that same thing, whether it's football or whatever. It's just life, isn't it? Like, we talked about De Bruyne a few weeks ago. Somebody asked, like, oh, why is he doing this look after himself now? Like, it's like, why do you stretch more when you're in your mid-30s? Like, you never do, like, you should do it when you're 20, but you never do because you just think, well, I'm all right, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But you don't know this, and like, I just took it for granted between 20 and 30 because you just think, well, I've got other stuff going on and I'll play whenever. And then, yeah, you get to that 30. I could still play now, but then I've got so many like injury things. It's just different. Like, I want to come and play on a Monday night, but for the last 3 months I've been being careful with my back just so I can like play golf a bit. And now I'm starting to think, like, give it another 2 or 3 weeks and like maybe I'll give it a go. I don't want to stretch and go, I didn't really want to... I do want to play this game. I want to play with Nadim, I want to play with Mooney, I want to play with Izzy, I want to play with like Steve Crossman, these guys, I want to give it a go. But like, if my shoulder dislocates or like I stretch and I hurt my back again and I can't play golf for 3 months again, I'm like, it's not worth it. Like, when I played that media game, I didn't want to play anyway, really. But then I did, and it's like, oh, I just will. And then dislocated shoulder, it's like, it's not worth the hassle.
It's a shame, man. I'm just finished. Like, lost a good one there.
But like, but this is it. But you do just take it for granted because you just think, because you're young. But then, look, there's always different ages and levels you can play. You can do different things. I'm hesitant to say walking football because I'm not fucking completely finished.
No, my dad eventually did it. He's 70 this year.
Didn't I go to one of those ones with you guys on a Friday night, walking football? And it was like,
it's quite tough, isn't it?
Yeah. No, but I was just like, Pele. It was unbelievable. Again, talking about the difference of like, this is how low the bar has to be. I'm playing against 50-year-old blokes walking football. But like... it was just like, so, but I'm not ready for that world yet.
Yeah.
But like, I was watching futsal the other week because I wrote the article about the futsal guys and I went to one of the games because like Manchester were top of the league and they were playing like Bloomsbury. So I got invited to go along and I went and like somebody blocked the shot and I was like, that's what I miss. Mm. That's what I messaged you about it straight away. I was like, that's what I miss the most. I feel like as a defender, your contribution is, you know, when people say, oh, that's worth a goal. And, you know, that's normally like a goal line clearance or whatever. But if you're just like standing up strong, you make a block, comes off your thigh, goes out, people are like, oh, good block. Oh, that must have hurt. It didn't hurt. Get on with it. Like, that is what I want. That is the kind of defending I like. And that's the kind of thing I miss. Like, at five aside, you score enough goals and you cover enough ground to be doing all. But that's the kind of thing I miss. But like, just is what it is now. Like, the thing is, talking about playing sport until being old, like properly old, I could play golf for 50 years if I live 50 years. So I'm just going to go with that now. And hope that, you know, my shoulder's not a problem with like arthritis or whatever in like 10, 15 years to stop me doing that. But that's when I started doing martial arts like 5 years ago, I stopped playing football so I could do that. And it's just kind of the longevity I see. But I do want to play sometimes just to see what's going on. But it's just something I'm like dipping my toe into like once or twice a year now. And also like I am shit.
You'll be on table sports.
I don't enjoy it.
Snooker and pool player soon.
I don't enjoy it. This is a funny thing though, like, because I'm not that guy who's like good at every sport. Like, I'm not, you know, one of those guys, like, you know, you must be for a start. But like, I went to school with a guy who was a good goalkeeper, like really good goalkeeper, good at cricketer. I think like whenever we played rugby, like he hated it, but like he was just good at it. He was just one of those guys. I've never been that guy, but like we went to like a works night out the other week. There was two things we did. One of them was pool. And there was something else. And it was just like, oh, I was suddenly that guy. You know what I mean? The level dropping. You just think, who am I playing with
here? Did it feel like, nice, yeah?
No, but it was like we played killer. And I was just like, I had like 3 lives left. But like, if I'm playing with just my mates and none of us are like pool sharks or whatever, you just look normal. But then all of a sudden that level's dropped and you just think, what is the average level? Like, is this a football journalist thing? Like, is this the thing where people think about us? Like, you just write about it because you can't play. Yeah, we can't play, but like, can nobody do anything? There was two things and I was just like, suddenly I feel like that guy, but I know I'm not. Like, if we go to darts, you know, you go to like flight club, I'll be one of the worst players there. And like, everyone's within a broad...
Yeah.
Well, because I've been a few times and I've just been like really bad, but like, well, not really bad, but I'm not like as consistent. But like once I went with Amy and it was like, there's a game when I think you've got to get it down from, is it 5:01 or 3:01?
Yeah,
obviously 5:01, but 3:01. And like, normally you're doing that in like loads. I genuinely did that in like 5 or 6 darts or something. It was all like 9 or whatever. But I know a 9 dart finish is like the biggest thing. I didn't do that. So it wasn't 5:01.
Yeah, but that's for 5:01, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
3:01's different.
Yeah, exactly. But I remember like turning to Amy like with 2 left and I was like, genuinely, if I do this now, it would be the funniest thing ever because I can't do this. If I was that good, I wouldn't, you know, I would, like you, Nadim, like, you're not going to turn it on the full experience. If I was good at darts, I wouldn't give my wife the full experience of darts. Because I can't do this. I'm not trying to do this. If I get this treble now, this will be the funniest thing of all time. And then I got it, and it was like, this is so funny. But the next time I went, I was just rubbish again. So I'm not that guy. But it was just funny that on this Monday night, I was like, these guys are like, they don't know how to hold the cue. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're getting down on the table, and they're like, they're still like... the body's like 45 degrees. It's like, no, like, you've at least got to get down so you can see. And it was just that level of like,
what I would say,
on.
You might have fallen out of love with the whole sort of
I think it's just taken for granted.
Yeah, the balancing with football. But what I would say is that if you play on my team, you'll enjoy it. Whatever the result, I guarantee you enjoy it.
Well, this is the other thing. I don't want to play against dickheads. But if it's one of those things, like, I feel bad because another mate of ours, he's messaged me a few times saying, would you be interested in playing this game? Because it's just me and a group of mates. Whenever I hear that, it's fine. Because if it's a group of mates, it's not going to be any aggro and it's fine. But like, I've always had injuries, so he stopped asking. You know, it's that thing of like, the phone's not going to ring, but it's because I've, you know, I said I didn't want to go to AFCON, so they stopped calling. Like, but it's that scenario. But yeah, like, but I will enjoy it. Like, to be fair, if I played with a group of mates and you weren't there, that would be much better. Because also the mistakes don't matter so much when you haven't got a dickhead on the other team. Like, yeah, that's
funny because I always thought like that, and then when I don't play like the element of competitive nature of a local five-a-side league, I do miss that. I do miss the competition. I just like to play the competition against people who aren't dickheads.
that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's the issue. But anyway, if we play together, I think you'll enjoy it, and I think I'll make you better. Whoever plays on my team.
Well, yeah, because this is the whole point we're talking about it, because there's so much stuff that... It's that old thing of, like, you've forgotten more about football than we know. That will... I mean, it won't be true because you won't have forgotten it.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, there's so much stuff. Like, when we go right back to passing around in the square, like, I'm thinking about that in my mind's eye. I'm guessing most people that square onto the pass are controlling it on their right foot, turning, playing it on their right foot. The next guy's doing that. But, like, but the coach, when he puts the cones out, he's not doing it for that purpose. Yeah. He's just like, well, this is what we do.
Yeah.
Obviously now I think there's, you know, more teams want to play out from the back. There's more resources you can get online. There's more like coaches going, you can do this session. I'm sure there's more amateur coaches doing that. But like, I hesitate to say, but in my day growing up, there wasn't that anyway. Mm. But also, we're just like, if nobody understands the game, then, and they're teaching, then what are you learning? Mm. Like, you're not, it's not like turning up and like listening to 5 blokes speak Mandarin once a week. How much are you picking up, really? Like, how much are you picking up? You're not practicing enough. You got no frame of reference. You don't know what anything of it means. Like, you're turning up and you can't...
Yeah, it's fair.
That's it for this episode of Let Me Talk Details. Sam, there was more from this episode for members. What extra bits can people hear?
Nadim talks about some of the funniest things he's seen playing amateur football since he retired. Plus, we discuss how a footballer balances their life when becoming a parent.
If you'd like longer ad-free versions, even earlier, all the useful links are in the episode description and over on lmtpod.com. If you want to ask us a question or send us a voice note on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok, just search for lmtpod. Or you can send us an email, hello@lmtpod.com. All the useful links are in the episode description and over on lmtpod.com. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next time.
Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk!